Yeah. I'm going to call the meeting to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That brings us to item three, roll call.
John Steinberg.
Here.
Chris Keckler.
Here.
Mike Polakoff.
Here.
Dave Klimisch.
Here.
Mike Serpe.
Here.
Before we do item four, just a note that item five is actually not a public hearing this evening. It will be the first thing under new business under item eight. So there's kind of an audible being called here. So there is no public hearing. It would be 5A under new business. That brings us to the minutes of the meeting for August 20th, 2018, presented to board members in written form.
I move approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any additions, corrections? Hearing none. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. Item six is citizens' comments.
Mr. President, there were no sign-ups this evening.
Anyone wishing to speak under citizens' comments? Hearing none, I'll close citizens' comments. Move on to item seven, administrator's report.
Village Board, the only thing that I wanted to present or just inform you on is just an update on the Visitors and Conventions Bureau or the Convention and Visitors Bureau for Pleasant Prairie. We do have an executive director that has been hired. We're also in the process right now of producing a branding, and we've contracted with Dooley and Associates to assist us with that, and just wanted to give you kind of an update on that we're in that process. Also, as kind of a supplementary project, I'm having Dooley and Associates also review or evaluate our branding for the RecPlex. We have three different brands that are kind of being utilized, both the Village brand and the current RecPlex brand, and then there's also the new brand that the Village Board had approved last year. And so they're going to be doing a small project just to reevaluate that, and I'll bring that to your attention. But things are going well, and Mike, I don't know if you want to add anything as far as the last meeting. We had kind of a whiteboard session with Dooley and Associates to review the tourism aspect of the village, and we're really excited with the executive director being on board. In fact, we were going to be transferring the funds that have been in the village under the village purview into a bank account for the actual Pleasant Prairie Convention and Visitors Bureau.
No, it was a good session we had, and the new executive director, Michelle Williamson's a very sharp person. I think she's going to do a really good job for that, for the village and that. And I think that the commission, recreation, or the tourism commission is doing a good job with your leadership, getting them focused on getting this thing up and running. So I think we'll be doing really well.
And that's all I have to report.
Just a suggestion, maybe we can go with a brand having that village grass and a winding river road, because that seems to be a very popular road village. So.
I'll take that into consideration.
All right, as promised, first item will be under new business, will be item 5A, and that is item to consider the preliminary resolution 1829 to exercise special assessment powers the water main improvements along 22nd Avenue and 91st Street, extending south 465 feet along 22nd Avenue.
Thank you, Mr. President and members of the board. This is a preliminary resolution just declaring the intent to exercise special assessment police powers associated with the water main extension along 22nd Avenue that's going to be installed as part of the Eva Manor development. The water mains required to be extended from 91st Avenue south through their full extent of their property. And then there was a request by the property owners to the south, Mr. and Mr. Mullins, to extend the water main a little bit further to get so they could get water main service or water service as well. The preliminary resolution basically sets forth the village engineer to prepare a report to include the preliminary plans and specifications, an estimate of the entire cost of the proposed improvements, and the schedule of the proposed assessments. If the board approves this resolution tonight, I have gone ahead and prepared that report, and we will be setting a public hearing for this assessment on October 15th, at the board meeting on October 15th. with that, if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them, but the preliminary assessment, I mean, we're looking at four properties being affected by this project. The assessment is a combination of a right of recovery from the developer for Eva Manor, so for the water main that they're extending along their property, they get a right of recovery, and then there is a special assessment for a little bit on the Mullins property and one other property that's going to be a village special assessment. But we can go into detail on that on October 15th.
Matt, before we take a vote on a related item, is there anything going to be done with the intersection at 91st and 22nd on the south shoulder just east of 22nd Avenue?
There is a right turn lane. I don't think there's any intersection improvements. There was a TIA done for that intersection, and it came out that the intersection is not warranted for any improvements.
Okay. Move approval of 1829.
Second.
We have a motion and a second for adoption of Resolution 1829. Further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. That brings us to new business item 8A, and that is to receive the Planning Commission recommendation to consider certified survey map to subdivide the property located at 9109 River Road to create a 5-acre parcel to construct a single-family home. And do you want to take B with that?
B and C.
B is to receive Planning Commission recommendation and consider Ordinance 1844 Comprehensive Plan Amendment to update the Village of Pleasant Prairie 2035 Comprehensive Land Use Plan Map 9.9 as it relates to the property known as 9109 River Road. And item C is to receive the Planning Commission recommendation, consider Ordinance 1841 for a zoning map amendment to rezone the field delineated wetlands area, and this is on a portion of the property known as 9109 River Road. Jean?
Mr. President, members of the board, we have three requests this evening from Craig and Christine Miller on behalf of the Christensen Trust, Oliver and Patricia Christensen. They're requesting to subdivide their property located at 9109 River Road. The purpose is to create a single 5-acre property for the construction of a single-family home. The three requests they have before you are the certified survey map, the comprehensive plan amendment, and the zoning map amendment. A variance was conditionally approved by the Village Board on January 15, 2018, and this was to allow for the subdivision of this 5-acre parcel on River Road for the construction of a single-family home without the extension of connections to municipal sanitary sewer. Municipal sanitary sewer is nearby, but a considerable distance away due to the cost to extend the improvement and the fact that it probably would never come down 114th Avenue. The board had granted a variance to that requirement to allow the certified survey map to move forward. So the first item this evening is that certified survey map to create a 5-acre parcel on the east side of River Road at 9109. The zoning of the property is a mixture. It has A3, which is an agricultural district, C1, which is a lowland resource conservancy district, and a floodplain overlay district for a portion of the property, as you can see on the slide. The lot size is 5 acres, and the lot frontage should be over 400 feet in area along the road. There are some wetland areas that were delineated on the property back in May of 2018, and this was an assured wetland delineator that delineated these four wetlands. Obviously, there can be no construction or earth movement within these wetland areas. As part of the processing of the request, a village comprehensive land use plan map and a zoning map will need to be amended as part of their request this evening also to correctly show the wetlands within the appropriate land use designation as part of the comprehensive plan, as well as in the correct zoning district. Again, the wetlands will be placed in the C1 district, and the 100-year floodplain will remain untouched. So the petitioner then has three requests this evening. One is the approval of the certified survey map. This and all of the language that we had talked about that needed to be added to the certified survey map with respect to dedication and easement restrictions, that language has been prepared by their surveyor. The second item is the comprehensive plan amendment, which is ordinance 18-40. And then the third item is the zoning map amendment, and that's ordinance 18-41. The Plan Commission held public hearing regarding these three items and recommended approval as presented.
Mr. President, I recommend that certified survey map be approved as presented.
Second.
Motion and second for adoption of the certified survey map. Any discussion?
Mr. President, I do have one question. If I could address the petitioner, there is an area between this certified survey map, lot one, and the parcel to the south. Is there a reason that gap was left there? Is it to just gain access to all of the land adjacent, closer to the river?
You want to just come up, give us your name and address for the record, and then.
My name is Craig Miller. That was put there with a request from the property owner to the south, for unknown reasons, that there be a separation. We originally had it mapped out to the parcels to touch, mm-hmm. and they had put in a request to me to have a spacing between there with an unknown reason, and we were still able to make that adjustment and meet the criteria.
Is that a family member?
It is, yes. Okay. For future development, I apologize. Yeah, he said for future development, that's correct. So he wanted, and I believe at the time, I'm trying to think back to it, it was quite a while ago, he wanted to be able to have access to the backside of his property if needed, and he thought that if the properties were touching, that's correct, that they would not allow for access behind his property.
I mean, he knows he can't put a single-family home back
correct.
There. Correct.
And I explained that all to him, and prior to me having the map redone, I had that discussion with him that I had stopped in and talked to your facilities and let them know there would be no further development allowed back there and that we couldn't have any access back there that would change anything where they could build anything or do anything, but he still requested that it be there. So to make appease that request, we just moved the lot over knowing that we would still have the room to meet the other criterias.
Is that considered an easement? Or?
Oh, it's still, it would still be a slice of property that would belong to 91. Wouldn't change and become anyone else's property. It would still be a piece of their property.
So it creates a property from being landlocked then?
Well, he had at one point come in and changed his property line to build a second garage on the property. And when he did that, he had stated to me that he did not move the property over far enough to be able to put a driveway past the side of his garage, which I stated that I didn't know anything about that, and when I came in and had requested information on, you know, the distance between that would be needed if he ever wanted to do that, I came up with this number with conversations here and just went ahead and put that in to appease his request. But there was discussions, and quite a few of them, about there cannot be any other developments, and the land use behind there doesn't equate to, you know, any future development. So it was done with his request. The initial plan had them touching.
Is it the concern that this is, there's going to be a future conflict? This is allowable. It's just not common, right?
It's not common. And so I'm just trying to, and the property owner to the south owns that land?
So, yeah, the right to our south there, right, exactly, there's a separate one-acre parcel that's there that's owned by the property owner that requested this.
Okay. So it'll be retained.
I know his name if you want his, I don't know if you need it or not. But Michael Christensen owns the property to the south. He's the one who had requested that there be a spacing in there for access behind his garage to the property behind him that he doesn't currently own.
So Michael Christensen, that will be his, that strip is?
No, it would not be his. It would still belong to Oliver Christensen, Oliver and Patricia Christensen, which are the owners of 9109 River Road. They would still own that strip of property between there.
Well, I'd say if the property owners are,
all fine,
fine with it, yeah.
Yeah,
make conditional approval just as long as you want to double check with them all.
I was just kind of curious because I didn't recall seeing that the first time, and so that's why I was just kind of curious as to why it was being done that way. We don't typically create flag-shaped lots, so as long as it's not, it's maybe an access to the back, but they know that they can't build anything back there unless it wraps around and attaches to the property to the south.
Yeah, I had the conversations here with your staff and made sure that all the regulations we were following were correct, and that if we were to move it over, that we would still meet the requirements on our end, which we did. And then I had a conversation with Michael as well, telling him that, you know, what you had stated as far as where we could move it if he had wanted, which it was his request. He had stopped in here at one point and asked about it as well, but I wanted to make sure I was following your regulations. So when we stopped in and went over it, we came up with this number to put the spacing in there, although the property will still belong to 9109 River Road. It will not be changed hands.
So to the village board, I think the only real concern is that are we setting ourselves up for a question or a future inquiry or a desire to build something in the back?
What I do know is the property currently, the 9109 is owned by my grandparents, Oliver and Patricia Christensen. The other property, which is the owner who had asked for me to make the change, is Michael Christensen, who is their grandson, and then I'm a grandson as well. So it's a family lot that we're separating, and he just wanted to have access without going through my property to the backside of his property for future use. What that future use is or what his plans are, I don't know. But I made it clear to him that there, this parcel that we're separating has very specific requirements to meet the criteria. Therefore, it was very unlikely that anything could go behind him. But he wanted to be able to drive a vehicle back there behind his garage.
And the surveyors had no problem doing this? So
they were able to move the lot line and meet the requirements without any issues. Correct.
So we'll chalk it up to as a River Road thing and leave it?
It seems that way, yes.
I think terminology is you don't ask questions on River Road, and then you just...
Right.
if it was a separate lot, there wouldn't be enough width in order to build anything back there. And so if it's just a driveway to get around to the garage that's in the back, then that shouldn't be an issue.
It's giving him access to the back parcel.
Correct. He knew that currently the way that it was laid out with the lot lines touching that he would have to drive over my property to get to the back of his garage, which I was fine with. But he wanted a space between there so he could drive over his grandfather's property.
I'll leave my motion intact.
There was a second already.
Right. We had a motion and a second?
Yeah. Yep.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. Thank you.
Move approval of 1840.
Second.
Motion and second for approval of ordinance 1840. Any discussion on this item? Roll call vote is requested.
Mike Serpe?
Aye.
Dave Klimisch?
Aye.
Mike Polakoff?
Aye.
Chris Keckler?
Aye.
John Steinberg?
Aye.
Move approval of ordinance 1841.
Second.
Motion and second for adoption of ordinance 1841. Further discussion? Hearing none?
Aye.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So carries. That concludes A, B, and C. Moves us on to item D, That is to receive the Planning Commission recommendation and consider Ordinance 1842, create Sections 348-8D, and this is the Village Municipal Code, related prohibition or parking recreational vehicles and utility trailers, any public street or village property.
Mr. President, members of the board, this is a request for Ordinance 18-42 to the Municipal Code relating to parking prohibited in certain areas of the village. This ordinance drafting came as a result of a request by the village board to the village staff to put together an ordinance that addressed a problem that's starting to pop up in some of our subdivisions with respect to pop-up trailers and regular trailers for hauling yard waste and so on and so forth. Many of the newer subdivisions do not allow for trailers to be parked in residential driveways. It's prohibited as part of their restrictive covenants. And the ordinance, our village ordinance, wasn't entirely clear as to what could be parked in the village's road right-of-way. And so what it appeared was happening is that the residents were bringing trailers of different types, as you can see some of the photos, and then they were parking those in the village's road right-of-way to maybe get around some of the restrictive covenant language of their own subdivision. So we took a look at the Village Municipal Code, and we modified Section 348-8D13. And the way the restriction will now read is that no person shall park any recreational vehicle not attached to a motor vehicle or a utility trailer, open or enclosed, used to haul materials, including but not limited to household goods, snowmobiles, jet skis, all-terrain vehicles, branches, or any other items, whether attached or unattached to a motor vehicle, upon any public street or roadway in the village, except for transports related to limited and immediate delivery or collection of goods and materials at the address being served on any village property, including village parks, unless the area where the parking is to occur is posted with signs permitting such parking. So the intent is that the village's right-of-way is not intended to be used as the parking lot for trailers. So if folks have these types of trailers, the pop-up trailers, the other types of trailers, they need to accommodate them inside their enclosed garages, or they need to be housed someplace else off of there and outside of the subdivision and off the village roadways.
So this is for residential zoning then?
That's correct. Well, actually, and the village police chief can come up, but it's really covering any type of recreational trailer or anything that complies with these regulations.
Gene, if a family has a family member coming up for a three-day visit with a trailer and attached to a fifth wheel, they can't park in the street for 3 days?
Not the way this is written. They'd have to park in the subdivision. We have provisions in our ordinance that allow for family members to come up with RVs and pop-up trailers to park in the driveway for very, very small, limited periods of time, loading, unloading, things like that, brief vacations, things like that. But the problem is that wasn't what was happening. This was ongoing week after week after week after week. This was not a temporary situation where we had people visiting. I know that the police department took some of these complaints, and the way the ordinances were currently structured, they were not, we needed to put some teeth into them in order to make sure it was very clear as to what we were enforcing. I don't know if Chief Smetana wants to come up and address anything further. I know that he's reviewed the ordinance. The administrators reviewed it. We drafted it. I'm hoping that it addresses the concern.
For the village board, one thing to just remind you, there was I'm going to forget the resident's name, but they specifically approached the village board probably a month ago, basically bringing up this issue. And so this is our intent to address it. Again, one thing that I would point out, and Gene did a very good job in stating that we state this is the rule, this is the regulation. And it's really to address kind of more of the grievous abuses that are taking place and the HOAs wanting to be able to address these concerns. So, I think we're primarily concerned about individuals who park their trailers or so forth for a long, long period of time. And that's most likely how we would be enforcing this ordinance too as well.
I had a sample question just envisioning types of scenarios. Landscapers that might have a utility trailer, different mowers and such, would they be applicable in this scenario that they go up and do their business, but they're unloading, maybe they're parked there for an hour or two?
No, because if they are there to service, they're transporting goods, and if they're there for a purpose, mowing the lawn, snow blowing, whatever it might be, that's not what this is intended for.
Okay, thank you.
So there were abuses by a number of people, and then the way this is written, it sounds like we'll stop those abuses. How do we make sure people that are just using an RV, someone's visiting, they have a jet ski, that they don't get unnecessarily burdened by this ordinance? Is there a way to put a hour on it, 24 hours, 72 hours?
I don't know that we wanted to put a specific hour on it. Again, it's going to be a police department enforcement. The two or three circumstances we have with the subdivisions that I'm thinking about right now based on the complaints we received, this was week after week. It was weeks throughout the summer, and then they just moved them this way, and then they moved them about 10 feet this way,
Chief,
then they moved them on the other side.
Chief is going to address this. Chief?
The rewriting of the ordinance to address these specific issues, we attempted on these cases to go out and kind of navigate this between the HOA and the resident. Unfortunately, the way the ordinance was written, we didn't have any enforcement power. So it was basically the HOA said you can't park it in your driveway. And if you look, it's the wooden trailer. You can't park it in your driveway for more than this period of time that's built into the rules. So we'd end up playing whack-a-mole with the individual pulling it on the street, now satisfying that time frame and then pulling it back in the driveway and then pulling it on the street. And that seemed to be an issue with this subdivision. It never take into account that we are going to get there and automatically issue citations. Our first goal is to gain some compliance. So talking to the individuals, advising them of the ordinance, and saying, hey, you can't park this here based on a complaint or if we see it, and then try to get compliance that way. So I'm not looking for anybody to be unduly burdened, as you mentioned. I think we're going to try to gain some compliance by talking to individuals and making sure that they understand what the rule of the ordinance says. So I don't know how often this is going to come up because we haven't been called on it. We haven't enforced it. So if there's other incidents where boat trailers, wreck trailers, things like that are being parked on the street, then we'll begin to address those as we see this coming up.
Because these are people.
Was there a problem in the parks where RVs were parking in the parks that we included that?
I think we may have had a couple of calls down in the Carroll Beach area. I know that, as a matter of course, I think the Lakeview area allows them for special events, but I think generally it was down in the Carroll Beach area that we had a problem with a couple of trailers. But it's few and far between.
So, Gene, if a neighborhood covenants allows you to have a paved area next to your garage to park your fifth wheel camper, whatever it is, and that's allowable in a neighborhood, that's still allowable, right?
Not per our ordinance. It has to be on the side of the
side
lot line, and it has to be set back, and it has to be on a hard surface, and it should be screened. So
We've always had that.
So we have that. And there are some subdivisions that do allow them to be parked on the side screened.
So that doesn't change.
Correct.
Okay.
Can an RV be parked in a driveway currently, according to the ordinance?
According to the village ordinance?
Yes.
Not for extended periods of time. No.
Okay.
You're loading, unloading, leaving and going on vacation, things like
that. If somebody's visiting for the weekend and they
Yeah, we're not going to do anything.
But for long-term storage for the winter or summer?
The long-term storage should not be in your driveway.
Okay.
Any other questions for the chief? Thank you, chief.
Thank you.
Move approval of 1842.
Sorry. Second.
Motion is second for adoption of ordinance 1842. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye. No, I in favor.
I in favor? You in favor?
I didn't eye fast enough.
All right. Everybody's in favor of item D? Those opposed? So carries. That brings us to item E, and that is receive the Planning Commission recommendation and consider resolution 1831 to initiate an address change for the property located at 9119 Cooper Road.
Mr. President, members of the board, this is a resolution to initiate the change of the official address of a second home on the property located in the village. Specifically, the owners of the property located at 9919 Cooper Road, tax parcel number 924-122-143-0044, are requesting that a second address be assigned to the 550-square-foot home that's located on the north side of their property. The property has two homes currently on the property. The primary home is located on the south side of the property, and that was constructed in 1939. The second home on the north side of the property was constructed in 1954. Again, both homes were legal at the time that they were constructed. We didn't have even county zoning until 1959. And so because of that, they are legal, nonconforming structures. Today, of course, our zoning ordinance would not allow two principal homes on one property, but this is legal, nonconforming. The property is zoned R4, Urban Single Family Residential District. The owners intend to maintain that secondary home on their property, and they're requesting a second address be assigned to the northern home to eliminate the problems that they've been having with respect to deliveries and other persons trying to locate the current home. In addition, since both homes are located on the same parcel with the same address, problems could also be created for emergency response personnel and others trying to find that second home. The purpose of this resolution, again, by the Village Board, is to initiate the process by which this petition can be examined and a public hearing can be held before the Village Board. These proposed changes will be referred back to the Plan Commission. A public hearing will be held by the Village Board. And then an address assignment would be scheduled or taken care of on the property. So the village staff is recommending approval of resolution 18-31 to initiate the process to consider a secondary address on this property.
Move approval of the resolution 1831.
Second. Motion is second for approval of resolution 1831. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. Brings us to item F, receive the Planning Commission recommendation to consider approval of time extension for the Memorandum of Understanding between the Village of Pleasant Prairie and the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. This is regarding the public and private improvements to the Main Street Market traffic impact analysis along State Highway 165, State Highway 31, and Old Green Bay Road.
Mr. President, members of the board, at the last Village Board meeting, we requested a time extension in order for us to review the Memorandum of Understanding Agreement for Main Street Market that had been prepared by the DOT. The developer also wanted some additional time in order to review what the DOT had drafted. We were hoping that we were going to get that MOU with the revised letter and the revised exhibit in time for this meeting. I actually received it today, so it didn't make it onto the agenda. So we are looking for a time extension until the next Village Board meeting, which is October 1st, because that's when the next board meeting is. The staff has reviewed this. Our village engineer administrator have reviewed it, and so we do need to put it on the next Village Board meeting because we just didn't get it to you soon enough.
So moved. Second.
Motion is second for approval. Any discussion? I know. I was very happy you seconded it. Motion and second. No further discussion. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. Brings us to item G. Receive the Planning Commission recommendation and consider the approval of the Gateway at Lakeview Corporate Park Declaration of Development Standards and Protective Covenants.
Mr. President, members of the board, you have before you the Gateway at Lakeview Corporate Park Declaration of Development Standards and Protective Covenants. The staff has reviewed these declarations at length with Erica Nicole Harris from WISPARC, as well as our staff, our administrator, myself and Tom, along with our attorney, and has incorporated all the changes and comments that we have discussed with respect to the declarations. What was finally agreed to is that there would be a separate set of declarations for the Gateway project, that this development covenants, these covenants are not rolled into the Lakeview Corporate Park standards, so they are separate and distinct. This is more of a retail commercial type development as opposed to an industrial park, so more specific language for unified business development were incorporated into these standards. And then based on some of the comments from previous meetings, some other language that was incorporated in here include the dark store, to avoid the dark store loophole. And so that language was put in here, and some additional site plan criteria was put in. And I want to say all the other things that we had talked about as a staff that covers everything from performance standards, enforcement, rights of the village, as well as the declarant and the association. Very detailed information in here on some of the items that make it a unified business development, from building materials, site lighting, site signage, cross-access easement language, things like that were all incorporated into these declarations as well. WISPARC recommended approval, yeah, and the staff recommends approval as presented.
I was just going to add that I was appreciative. I know Erica is here tonight. I was appreciative of her efforts and in working with us. I believe that we've come to a good set of declarations for this site. And again, I think that it was a worthy process. Only thing that I would highlight is that when we set up the declarations, we did set up basically an intent to set up a POA or an owner's association. That association will be organized or orchestrated as developments come on board. One thing that we had requested specifically, and Erica has assured us, is that they will file for the POA or get the POA filed before the end of this year, November 1st. But in all, that was the only subtle difference from other declarations that we've set up with other organizations, where we would have had specific language saying that the POA was going to be implemented at the get-go. So if there are questions, Erica is here tonight. I'm grateful that she came, and in general, I think that it was a good process.
Any questions for Erica? Erica, anything to add? No? Any questions for Erica? Hearing none, then.
Move approval for the Declaration of Development Standards and Covenants for Gateway at Lakeview Corporate Park.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on this item? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. Brings us to item H, consider approval of Ordinance 1843 as it relates to Chapter 323, and this is 320-3 of the Hotel Motel Room Tax, Village Pleasant Prairie's Municipal Code.
So before you is a few modifications to the room tax ordinance as is currently existing. Primarily, as the room tax and the CVB reviewed the ordinance and in discussions with an attorney. One thing that has been afforded to municipalities is to take into consideration B&B or Airbnb situations where people will rent out their homes for short periods of time to also collect room tax or tourism tax on those types of facilities. And so primarily the ordinance is being adjusted to accommodate that ability within the village. The rest of it's minor, just cleaning up of the ordinance in general. Again, one thing to note that I didn't mention in my administrator's report is that we are actually prepared to establish the CVB, and so that item, the board of directors or the bureau, will need to be appointed or I guess committed to serve their term, and so that business will be brought forward to the village board probably at the next meeting. So you can start to see that we're making progress to fully implement that CVB. Any questions? I'd entertain them at this time.
What percentage are we collecting on now?
It'd be the same. Right now, whatever we collect, it's 8% of the room night cost, and then the village retains 10% of that amount for administrative costs, and then the bureau would receive 90% for the purposes of promotion of the community.
And just to add to that point, that with state statute, because that really cannot be changed or modified. The only way is if we were to like create a convention space, an actual convention space, then there's potential to make modifications to that formula.
Move approval of ordinance 1843.
Second.
Motion and a second for adoption of ordinance 1843. Further discussion? Seeing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Brings us to item I, and that's consider approval of the offer to purchase. Received from Route 165 LLC is for the purchase of the property known as Outlot 1 of CSM 2684, tax parcel number 91-4-121-251-0154, and this is for the sum of $22,000.
Thank you, Mr. President and Village Trustees. Before you, as Mr. President said, is a vacant land offer to purchase between the Village of Pleasant Prairie, the current owner, and Route 165 LLC, also known as U-Line. Over the past few months, Village has been in discussion with U-Line to purchase this parcel. This is a 5.5-acre parcel located generally at the southwest quadrant of State Trunk Highway 165 and I-94. The parcel, if you could, the parcel's improved. There you can look on the slide where that parcel is. It's just to the east of U-Line's H1 headquarters. The parcel is improved currently with two stormwater retention basins that collect stormwater from the property to the north, which U-Line purchased a couple years ago, and also from the abutting roadways. There's also a campus connection pathway that U-Line installed in 2017 that connects H1 headquarter building with H2 headquarters. Essentially, the U-Line has been maintaining this parcel over the years. They landscaped it, they mowed the lawn, so on and so forth. So it only makes sense that this parcel, that they were interested in purchasing this parcel. As you said, the value, we have it at $22,000, which is also the proposed sale price. There are a few easements that traverse this property. There's a private driveway and access maintenance easement, which is intended to serve the access to the potential U-Line H1 to the immediate west. There's a 20-foot public sanitary sewer and access easement on the property. There's a stormwater drainage and retention basin easement, like I said, on the property. There's a 12-foot Wisconsin electric power easement and also a fiber optics easement on the property. One more slide, Gene. And there's a general location. Again, it gets a little more overall view of where that property is, just north of Jockey and just, like I said, east of H1. Next slide, Gene. Again, this slide shows the easements that traverse the property and located on the property. Next slide. And this slide shows the, I said that campus connection pathway, the green line that goes through that connects their H1 building to the east and the H1 and the H2 building to the south. There's a picture looking westward from the West Frontage Road towards the, as you can see in the background, the H1 building. You can see the campus connection pathway there. And to the right of the slide, you can't see them, but are the two retention basins. A similar picture, a different, slightly different angle, again, showing the property. Next slide. So with that, the village staff is recommending that the village board approve the vacant land offer to purchase between Route 165 LLC and the Village of Pleasant Prairie and authorize the village president to execute the vacant offer to purchase contract. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Move approval of the vacant land offer as outlined.
Second.
Motion and a second for adoption of vacant land offer. Further discussion on this item? So we have all the easements we need, all the accesses we need. We don't have to do any maintenance anymore on it. And they're actually doing
actually own the property
now. So.
Exactly.
So, okay. There's no further discussion. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. Brings us to item J, and that is consider approval of disallowance of claim for Tim Hemlink, and this is for the damage to his vehicle allegedly caused by a rock that was kicked up by the village truck traveling on 88th Avenue.
Mr. President, members of the board, this evening I'm going to recommend a disallowance of a claim per the village insurance company to Mr. Tim Hemlink. He was traveling on 88th Avenue behind a village van. Village van was completing locates of underground utilities that staff had turned on its hazards, pull over to the side of the road, completed its hazards. Later on, there was I received a call that a rock had come out of the village van's tire and supposedly caused some damage to his vehicle. We went and we had him submit a claim to the village insurance company. Insurance company did an investigation and recommended a disallowance of the claim, so I would recommend his disallowance of the claim for Mr. Hamlick.
How much damage was done, John?
I don't know exactly a dollar amount. I'm not sure if Mr. Hamlick is here this evening.
No, he's not.
I thought it was a small stone, maybe 1 inch, and village van at the time was moving about 5 miles an hour, so I'm not sure how much velocity that stone had to cause damage. But
the investigation showed no negligence on the village part?
That's correct.
Recommend approval of the disallowance.
Second.
Motion and a second for approval of disallowance of the claim. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. Thank you, John. Item 9, village board comments. Nothing?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Motion and a second for adjournment. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.